Blog Talk Radio.
And just like that, people, the Golden State Warriors have put back in the minds of many of being the team no one in the NBA can defeat, people. Welcome back to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia Zone, the soul in sports. I am your host, Mike Knox, and indeed, you already know how I spell my name, Mike. Three X's like this weekend, the best and worst that it was. I spell my name with three X's because I am hardcore. But as always, people, first, the particulars. Number to call in, which you call in, you listen to. You can also hit the number one button to have a voice and be the voice of the voice for the voiceless at 347-637-3859. Also follow yours truly by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud on the Twitter at Mike Knox with three X's. And while you're there, follow the show Soul, capital S-O-U-L, in sports, and also 1340 AM Fox Sports all over your social media dial. And today, I wear my heart on my sleeve and simply, how good are the Golden State Warriors? Seriously, like, when you hear that final score.
Yeah.
And you just.
This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the building that I was hustling for and that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
The notorious B.I.G.
It's all good, baby, baby.
But how do you beat this team? Can they beat beat? Is Steph Curry hurt or is he not hurt? Was it all a mirage, people? Also, the Cavs versus the Boston Celtics tonight. Who will win this game? Why? Boston played as bad as we thought they would play. And will they play the same tonight? Also, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, the first ever expansion team through talent for a title in the modern sports era. Just good or bad for a other sports teams moving to Las Vegas. And also, if you do not know, I said this on yesterday's show for Perfect Flex Talk Radio, that if Ronda Rousey is to beat Nia Jax, it would mean one thing and one thing only. Will that be true? Because today, WWE breaks the news that they are moving to Fox Network for SmackDown. A lot to be talked about today, and we shall discuss it right here at the Barbershop Talk Radio, right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM Fox Sports. Enjoying the program today, live from the Hope City of Richmond, Virginia. His mama calls him Michael. You can follow him on ME Richmond. It's that simple. The CEO himself. What's going on, Micah?
Oh, my brother. What the world is defense? Does Wilson know how to spell defense? I'm just curious. I know that when it comes to being anti-graybeard, James Harden's beard knows how to play good defense. I don't know about actual basketball defense. I see more Matador playing, more Matador versus the Bull going Ole in that game than I ever have in any bull watching, any bull fighting, and any professional bull riding that I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot. Part of me feels like going on with your Stephen A. Smith. Even though my hairline is actually intact, I just want to use large, uncontested words to describe the abomination of basketball I saw last night. I'm not even a basketball guy. What is this real life? Biggie, was it all a dream? Did you used to read Word Up magazine? Did you have some salt and pepper and heavy D up in the limousine? I just want to know, because James Harden is not a picture I want to hang on my wall.
Well, I will let that rest where it lies. He has a lot to discuss. You can feel the anger in the basketball game he witnessed last night. But also, welcome to the program. Fresh off of Hobbs Snobbing on Showtime Boxing Zone, the Urban Sports Brothers on Wally Wow. What's going on, Wally?
Not much, bro. What's going on, man? Mikey, don't worry about it, man. The better team just won. The better team just won. That's all it is, man. So don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
He said five games. He said five games. We just still
you're
laughing.
You're doing right, I did. You're doing right, I said five games. No. It ain't the Warriors. It's the freaking Houston Rockets. And it's the lack of freaking defense. It's Mike D'Antoni and the lack of freaking defense. But when I see the Warriors play
the
actual team that actually play real defense, but when I see a team that actually plays real defense against them and grinds them down, they struggle. But guess what? And I play a team with real
defense. Who's done that, though? The argument would be who's done that, because they obviously won championships. No one stopped them. So it's just the Warriors.
And the sad part is one guy before an ankle injury was able to do it. Only one, which is the weirdest thing. One guy, when they had KD, was able to do it before he got an ankle injury. As soon as he got the ankle injury, it was like, oh, we don't have to worry about good defense now. Oh, thank God.
Good one.
I'm going to let him go. I'll just go, hey. I mean, we've all had some crazy takes and lock it ups, if you will. So I wasn't going to make fun of the Rockets in five.
It's all good. You got to know. It's okay. You can make fun of it. Because I told y'all, I am not one of those people that would change my take. My take was five games, and my take is wrong.
That's how you felt? That's how you felt?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just, I feel like you can win the series, though.
Okay. All right. That leads me to the leading question of the day. How good are these Golden State Warriors, and can you beat them, Micah? I mean, how do you beat this team? I don't see a weakness other than them.
Well, I mean, it's just like what I talked about when I was talking about Houston beating them in five games. It's just a matter of just will they be lax, and will they come out where they come out a little flat. And, in the beginning of the game, they actually were. They didn't give them those turnovers, giving them real easy chances to be able to go up by 15, 20 points early, because as you saw, when Houston gets on the roll, we saw this in game two, when Houston gets on the roll and they get up on you, it's really hard to get back into the game from an offensive standpoint, because then they are energized to actually do something that you didn't see last night, which is play defense. get blown out by 40 daggone points. And it wasn't even that close, only because the competitive spirit that's supposed to be in there for people who play NBA-level basketball wasn't there. Like, I'm trying to figure out who, other than Chris Paul, who's actually hungry on that team. Now, I understand that shots sometimes don't fall in. I understand that happens. But when you completely give up, you repeat the narrative that happened to you last year, and you know exactly who I'm talking about. The person who quit on his team last year seems to be in the same mode of quitting on the team this year. Just because you ain't getting the foul calls that you always get.
Would that be your
season,
MVP?
Bruh.
Would that be your MVP?
No, he wouldn't be. Even before this series, he wasn't my MVP. Because
okay. You
can tell that when it comes to – you can tell not only just by stats, because they played better and won more games when he wasn't on his A game. That's
uh-huh.
one thing. But you can also look at the details of each individual game. And when I go back and look at basketball games, I'm like, okay, I know LeBron James takes defensive plays off, but this dude doesn't play defense at all. I'm like, I'm surprised he got 126 steals for the season. I'm surprised he has as many defensive rebounds as he has. I was actually quite shocked that he actually had the stats that he had when it came to the basic numbers for a player that is not known for any kind of defense whatsoever. And so my conclusion is simply this. One, you didn't play all the games of the season, but I'm going to hold that against anybody. As long as you play the majority of games, I'm cool with you. Two, when they move you off the team, how much impact is it felt if you're gone or you're not playing your A game? Well, I'm sorry. There's been times when LeBron James was playing his A game, his team still won because when he locked in points, he made up for it in facilitation and defense and defensive rebounds. Not to say he's an elite defender, just for the sake of argument. Also, when it comes to anybody with top of the league can this year, you know, when LeBron James is on, his team does better. When James Harden is on, sometimes his team does worse. I'm on Burgundy? That's weird. How can you make a 40-point game and your team actually loses, not because of anything else, but because you had the ball too many times in your hands and you didn't really get anybody else involved, versus LeBron James had a 40-point triple-double. He was trying to get everybody else involved, but, you know, they kind of fell short. So things are a little bit different between the caliber of player that we're talking about here, a guy who's primarily a scorer and an offensive guy who, you know, is motivated on the offensive end primarily, and a guy who has an all-around game. And we already seen what happens years before and years after when LeBron James was on the team, he left the team. On the team, left the team. They weren't the same team. And LeBron James pretty much had scrubs around him, and he has a bona fide MVP-type caliber player, bona fide type of Hall of Fame kind of player beside him, and he's not making any headway against a team that he should be able to beat. And then they beat him four times in the regular season. So I'm trying to figure out what the excuse is this time for Mr. The Beard, James Harden. You can't be my MVP and you play. Now, I ain't talking about lack defense. No defense. And one thing is your mediocre defense.
How can you sit back?
Hold on. Enough
right now. How can you sit back, feel so confident in Rockets in five, and talking about the defense you knew that they lacked? What did they show you, right? Because I don't think the series is over. I can see this. I just don't think the series is over. I still don't have Houston winning the series. I'm not betting against Golden State. But the things you're telling us, right, while he's saying that he knew James Harden couldn't play defense like this and he was afraid of James Harden not showing up this year the way he did last year, and what's the big taste in the mouth from last year is what we're getting back this year, him quitting. What possibly led you down the yellow brick road of Houston could have you thinking liftoff would be them over Golden State?
That was one Chris Paul. I believe that Chris Paul had a mentality about him that could influence James Harden to give that increased amount of effort. So what I was looking at was, when I was seeing it, was that I would say, okay, we got Chris Paul here. He knows how to play defense. May not be an elite defender like he once was, but he can play some defense. Maybe he can be the influencing factor to help one James Harden, who, when he was in OKC, was a really good defender. It is like he never played defense his whole career. He was a really good defender in OKC. He was still doing some good things against still at the time prime Kobe Bryant when he was in OKC. And then as he transformed and grew his game, I guess he figured that defense wasn't important. But that's perfectly fine. But I thought Chris Paul was the reason. Chris Paul would have been the difference maker because I saw James Harden in big moments sometimes shrink away. So when I saw what they did against Golden State in the regular season, I know regular season doesn't necessarily matter. but it gives you some insight as to what they could possibly do during the playoffs. And I thought the mentality may have changed, may have switched because of Chris Paul's influence. Now, obviously, I was wrong. But that's why I thought the Houston Rockets were going to have a fiver against Golden State. Not because Golden State wasn't going to just, like, count down, just roll over, but because Chris Paul's mentality and a little bit of more of that killer instinct was going to rub off on a guy who was already prolific at scoring, already prolific at getting other people involved offensively, and I thought it was going to bump him up on the defensive end. And then the collective team defense was going to be enough to hold off Golden State while they just keep on knocking down threes and knocking down layups against them. That's what I saw. That's what I believe. I thought Chris Paul was going to be that different.
Wally, in his synopsis of what he thought would be the difference in the series being Chris Paul, I like what Houston has and what they do. But here's what Golden State, in my opinion, I think most basketball guys are looking at and seeing the difference in the team, and why we compare them to, you know, one of the greatest teams of all time, is that you can't really single out one guy, not even a second guy. Like, they have a big four, a big five. Like, their starting five can torch you. You know what I mean? Or defensively shut you down with Clay, with Draymond, with KD when motivated to do so, with Andre Iguodala, their style of play doesn't prohibit another team from beating them in the style that Houston plays basketball. And you agree with that? I just look the way Houston plays the game, and I don't think that the way they play can stop Golden State.
The issue is that what Golden State is, which is different from Houston, you know, Houston's an improved defensive team. They're not like a shutdown defensive team. Golden State is a really good defensive team that can score the basketball. So it makes it hard for a team like Houston to beat Golden State because you have a team that can score and can play defense. You got guys, you mentioned Draymond Green, Iguodala, and Klay Thompson. Those guys play defense at a high level. So you got good defenders, and you got good scorers, and you got good IQ basketball players. And the ball moves. They got motion offense. The ball moves. So the reason why they're hard to beat is because they're a well-oiled grinding machine. They check the box on many different facets when it comes to a great team. Houston can't beat Golden State because they have mismatches. That's one. Secondly, Golden State can play defense. They can switch, and guys are mobile to play defenses on switch. If you put, you know, even Steph, who was getting his butt torched in the first two games in Houston, but at the end of the day, he's still trying to compete, so he's putting effort. You know, so when you see effort all around the board defensively, and then you got guys who are high skilled defensively, and then you got, oh, and plus that, you got guys high skilled offensively, they're a tough team to beat. You know, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, well, Harden can't do this, that, and the other. Harden puts up that, and he plays well, but at the end of the day, he can't beat Golden State. Like, he's not that guy. LeBron, even with, you know, Kyrie Irving, who was a good player, and Kevin Love, couldn't beat this team. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, what they bring to the table
But they did beat that team.
I'm talking about Kevin Durant. With Kevin Durant, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about with Kevin Durant. So they didn't beat, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's a hard team to beat. It's a real hard team to beat in four games. You know, and like Mike, I don't think the series is over. I don't think Houston is done. I think the way they can shoot the three ball, they can be in any game. They can win any game. So they can take it five. They can take it six. But the point is, can you beat them four times? Can you beat Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green, Iguodala, the Hampton Five? Can you beat them five times? I mean, four times, excuse me, four times. And that's hard for anything. So when you're telling me, are they unbeatable in the series in this modern day in the modern day NBA? I believe so. I think they're unbeatable.
Unbeatable, Micah. Like, I want to agree with him, and that's one of the things that make me, and I think a lot of sports fans, you know, you like them but you hate them. Like, you respect the game but you hate them because they're unbeatable, and you want to see them get beat. Or do you want to see this team get beat, Micah?
No, I mean, I don't hate Golden State. I don't hate Golden State at all.
I hate Golden State.
Draymond Green. I don't hate Golden State. I think they're a fine team. I think they're good for the game of basketball because
I think Durant's a sucker for going to play there. I think that tipped the balance of scales, and that changed the NBA landscape. And I don't think that it's here's the thing, and I hate to cut you off with that, right? The term Big Three was established when Boston did it with Kevin Durant and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, and they came together. And I've said this before, the difference between that team and even what Boston is doing now and Philly is doing now and, you know, some of these teams trying to put together these teams is that they did it through the draft and they did it with, you know, to me, I view it differently from an organizational standpoint of them coming together to build a team than I can from the players saying, hey, let's play together. And that may be – some may see that as why and how come I'm not on the player side. It's not that I'm not on the player side. It's just how I've been programmed to watch sports, how I've been programmed to cheer for my team and how my team puts something together. Like if you're the fan of the Miami Heat, if you're the fan of Golden State, you're happy what Durant did and what LeBron did because that's your team. But everybody else is like, how can the so-called best in the world go play with the other best in the world? So to me, when I see Golden State like this, at first I enjoyed it. Like, they did their thing. Then when Kevin Durant came there, it was like, come on, dude. So for me, this unbeatable team, which I have to agree with you on that one, Wally, can't be beat because they were already a willed or machine, as Wally pointed out. But then you add the second best player in the world and probably the best offensive scorer in the NBA today and Kevin Durant. And I just think that's a recipe for – like I think they could beat or compete for that 72-10 record every year if they wanted to. And I don't think that they want to, Wally.
Well, no, I mean, you got a valid point right there. And Wally, I agree with you too, man. I do think that the way the team is constituted, there's things about them that makes them appear that they can be an unbeatable team, Wally. They can appear to be an unbeatable team. But they got their flaws like anybody else does. Their bench ain't settled, and for me anyway, their bench ain't the same kind of bench they had last year. Their bench ain't the same kind of bench they had 2 years ago when they were playing Cleveland, when Cleveland came back 3-1. Obviously because of the 73-9 record. You know, also, you know, I never compare LeBron's move to KD's move because LeBron never joined a team that set the regular season record for wins. I never compare what they did to what Boston did because Boston did it like Danny Ainge, like I said, they did it through organization. Most of these people are building their teams, and I never in my life have I ever seen anybody outside of maybe some dude going to join the Patriots try to join a winning, dominant team to create the championship atmosphere and then blame the fans for the championship atmosphere culture. Like, nah, bro, we never said that. Championships just matter because if championships just matter, then everyone who is in this free agency would just be keeping on joining them for each other, taking less money. Like, for example, it's not too far-fetched to say, okay, well, if everyone cares about championships and no one wants to have an alpha dog in them, everyone just want to get the rings, well, here's what they do. LeBron take $5 million. KD take $5 million. Steph
but
take $5
million. Doesn't
you know,
that kill what makes us or has been one of the things in our life is competition and that desire to be the best, whether you're playing a game, whether it's Marvel versus DC, Apple versus Android, it's all about the breed of competition. This is one of the problems that we have.
But that's exactly it. That's exactly it, what your point is. So some of these guys that don't do that thing, you know, they do that because they don't want to be looked at as that guy. Like Kevin Durant.
But I think they're self-destructing their own league. I think they're self-destructing their own league. And I know financially, the NBA is in a better place than it's been in years globally. And then, it isn't nationally, but globally, they're just as big. Look what the Carolina Panthers just sold for. The Houston Rockets team sold for more than that, and the Clippers.
That's not the problem, though, because domestically, nationally, the NFL kicks the butt.
NBA globally, the NFL beats domestically. Right. That's what I was referring to. Yes, I'm sorry. We're saying the same thing, but in different ways.
Okay.
So let's both know our pros and shut both our mouths, and then maybe we can both not get a candy, whatever it is. I ain't nobody sending nothing to my ass. Let's get that first of all straight. I don't give you the Rock, Vin Diesel, anybody else. You ain't turning nothing sideways and shining it up nicely. All right, we're going to have to fight. All right, no fighting, real fighting. None of that playground fighting y'all been watching. I've been watching this damn 13 Reasons Why season 2, and I'm all emotional, fellas. So it got me thinking about great things in television and things like that. And the biggest story for me out of this weekend with Golden State demolishing Houston, okay, we saw on Saturday night the Cavs do exactly what Wally said was going to happen. Boston did not shoot the ball well. Boston showed the youngness of their team. Wally, was that Saturday night, and do you see a repeat of that tonight? Because I think Boston comes out tonight and wins this ball game in Cleveland. I think your best coach in NBA, Brad Stevens, has a game plan that will work and win tonight for them.
No, I don't think Boston's going to win tonight. I just think that, and I was talking to somebody else about it, that, you know, when you go home, players that LeBron needs to step up for him to get W's at home will step up. Like I said before, like J.R. Smith is a home player. And if you get that type of output from J.R. Smith, if he can score over 10 points, then 9 times out of 10, everything else opens up and Cleveland wins. So, like, in my opinion, like, players like J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, they'll play well. You saw Hill. They'll play well at home because they'll feed off the crowd. J.R. Smith is an emotional player, so he'll feed off the crowd. I'm interested to see how for the Celtics. I do believe the Celtics are putting on a better show and put more effort out there. I know to me they did put effort, just that it is what it is. Shots didn't fall. I want to see how Jaylen Brown plays, because Jaylen Brown is, to me, is an emotional player. You don't see it in terms of him hooping and hollering, but he's an emotional player in terms of he feeds off the crowd and whatnot. So if he starts off pretty slow and sluggish, I don't think Boston wins the game. I think Tatum's going to play at a high level. He's an even-keeled kid. His skill set, you know, is out of this world, and he's even-keeled. I would like, if they want to beat Houston, Cleveland, Boston's going to pretty much, have to feature Al Horford. They can feature Al Horford early. I think that can keep him in the game, and I think that at that point in time, the young kids will be fine towards, like, you know, the stretch run that game. But I have Cleveland winning. I have it going 2-2, have it being 2-2. And game 5, to me, is going to be a pivotal series, a pivotal game.
You think that Cleveland can win in Boston, but Boston can't win in Cleveland? I think you're leaning towards that.
I think Cleveland can win in Boston before.
More
yeah,
than
I think
Boston
win
can
Boston.
Win in.
Yeah, but if it goes 7, but listen to me, if it goes 7, I have Boston winning in 7. Like, it has
so you
to,
have it all
I think
the
LeBron
Cleveland. It's all
yeah,
the LeBron
I have
factor.
Cleveland. It's all LeBron factor. If Cleveland can take game 5, series is over. If it goes 7, Boston's winning the series. They're going to the NBA Finals. Cleveland can only win in 6 to me. They can only win in 6.
I got Boston winning tonight. Micah, who you got winning this game tonight?
Oh, this is going to be Cleveland's game tonight. Boston has too much to prove to me for me to have any kind of faith in them on the road. But I agree. And Wally, I agree with you. So Boston going to get that, hand to them tonight. They're going to come out on fire. They're going to come out on fire on Wednesday when they play game 5. And LeBron James, and he's going to get his squad right. And they're going to put the nail in the coffin, because once you do that, all those young cats going to be demoralized, and then games is going to be a wash.
Say you're wrong.
I mean, sure. So wrong.
Okay.
Wrong, I mean, I'm wrong about Houston at 5. Yes, I was. I was
okay.
I was totally glassing.
Just making sure. That's what we were talking about. You were talking about that. Nothing else. Just so you know.
Excuse me!
What the heck?
This is Vicky Guerrero, and you're listening
to
the Soul and Sports with Mike Knox and the crew. Orale!
Viva la Raza. Boy, she's so fine, that Kruger. 347-637-3859. Speaking of going to the championship game, tonight in hockey, the Washington Capitals have an opportunity to punch their ticket to Lord Stanley's Cup and
no,
win this.
No,
they don't. No,
Tampa Bay. The Winnipeg Jets do.
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
My bad. We thought a week ago they were going to do this, and now they have a must win situation tonight. I apologize. As Tampa
like a
Bay.
Week ago.
Yeah, it was good, right? It was all shiny, and everybody was happy, and OB, the real OB, we're talking about that, right, was going to step up and get his namesake back and take it back from Drake. Well, he has two opportunities to do it, one tonight and hopefully forcing a game 7 against Tampa Bay. But the Las Vegas Golden Knights, guys, a store that I have not seen since Rowan Gutner, I have not seen since the 1980 Lake Placid, if you will, the U.S. Olympic hockey team beating the Russians. Not since the Dream Team came together and we knew that no one could beat them. Not the Redemption Team, because people who think the Redemption Team can beat the Dream Team are just dumb millennials. Yes, I said it. I'm not afraid of it. You're a dumb millennial if you think the Redemption Team can beat the Dream Team. But we're talking about the Vegas Golden Knights. Have you ever seen a better story that's going to turn into a 20 for a 30 for 30 or a movie, Wally? We're talking about an expansion team. And with most expansion drafts, they open up to players that teams don't want, and they have them in a pool. Uh-huh. A pool. They bid on that player, uh-huh, and they draft that player. The Golden Knights did pretty damn well. They got former goaltender from the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, Mark Flory. Yeah. I mean, this team is just – they're not your typical expansion team, but how great is this story, and how great is this story for the Vegas area and trying to get other sports teams there?
I think it's great for the Vegas area. It's showing that it's like almost becoming a real – becoming what almost? It's becoming a real sports town in terms of having real fandom, not the gambling aspect, but just a real sports town. But in terms – I've spoken to, you know, NHL fans and whatnot. Some people are really sour on it because, like, this is not – like you said, this is not a traditional NHL expansion team. They were able to pretty much pick some quality hockey players. You know, typically, like you mentioned, in other expansion drafts, like you're getting players that people don't, that people are willing to get rid of. A lot of players that they received were players that many teams did not want to get rid of.
Right.
It's a little different expansion team compared to some of the teams we've seen in other sports, right? But yeah, I mean, to me, it's still a great story because an expansion team neither less is an expansion team. So for them to get to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wally, can you say that it was maybe sort of a fix in that draft?
You know,
I mean, we're looking at a team in the Vegas Knights.
That's like you said,
I mean, let's be honest here. Excuse me. We know that Vegas wanted a team very bad, okay?
Yep.
We know that they had to have an original team. It couldn't be a team that was, you know, let's just say Winnipeg moved again, right? Or the, you know, or some team like that moved again. Couldn't have Memphis come to Las Vegas. They want to have their own team. So I have seen in other expansion drafts. You're right. The majority of the players are the guys who are going to pack the groceries at the end of their season. In this one, they had some very good players that fell under a new cap that hit in hockey. So a lot of teams were forced to get rid of players, either sign them to a better contract or you got to let them go into this draft. And that's exactly what happened with the Golden Knights. But does that take away, Micah, from the story of this team?
Man, when I think about this team, the only thing I think about is the fact that they're in Vegas, and Vegas knew what to do to fix the daggone referees and to fix all the games to make sure that their team got to the daggone Stanley Cup Finals in the first year. It's a fix, Mike. It's a fix, and you know it. And when the Raiders get there, the fix is in for them to have a Super Bowl, too. You know Vegas ain't going to let no team that they got just lose in the first year and just stink. I mean, but, yeah, they had good draft process and good free agent process, too. But, you know, that little thing about Vegas, gambling. I'm just saying – I'm a conspiracy theorist, you know that. Just say it.
Yes. Yes, I do. It's okay. We're still, you're still my buddy. But the conspiracy theory, it does lend to that, Wally, you know? That, you know, these teams and just overall, this team is really, really good. I mean, they finished with, what, one of the best records in hockey? This past year, 57 wins.
Uh-huh.
Just, to me, it's a phenomenal story. I love seeing things like this. Excuse me. Seeing these players come together. You can't fault the player. You know, they still got to come together.
Yeah.
Still a new city. And they've taken over a city in Las Vegas as well, where they're like, that team, that city rather, is all in, if you will, so to speak, for the Vegas Knights. I'm excited for this. I like to have seen, just because it's something we haven't seen before. I want to see something different.
No, definitely. No, again, it's a great story because we're the town too. It's Vegas. It's a place that's now starting to be like hot development. You know, knowing that the Raiders will be there, you got the Vegas Knights. So now it's becoming a trendy sports town. And then obviously people want to, you know, for a, for, you know, if they have a home game, people are going to want to attend.
if it's the Stanley Cup Finals, or if it's the Raiders are at home and playing, say, the Philadelphia Eagles, Mike, they may be playing your team. You may want to go to Vegas. You know what I mean?
But unlike the Raiders that are coming there, this is their team. This isn't the Raiders moving from Oakland or you know that area. This is their team. Does it not feel different because it's not a team moving there?
No, I feel like this is the thing. They're right now they're doing the groundwork, the framework, right? So by them reaching the Stanley Cup Finals and potentially winning the Stanley Cup Finals, now you get the Raiders to come in. Now it's going to bring more popularity to the Raiders, and they'll embrace them as the Raiders as their team as well. So, like, once you bring that winning atmosphere, that winning, you know, environment, I feel like it's all going to have a trickle-down effect.
347-637-3859. Speaking of trickling-down effects, the WWE has decided that SmackDown would move to Fox Television Networks starting October 2019. Wally, we've talked about the landscape of sports and wrestling and this involved right now. Fox, we know, sold off a big part of their movie franchises and things like that. Their library and is up for sale, just waiting for finals to go through for Disney to finalize that contract, despite Comcast. Steady involvement trying to take that deal from Disney. But Fox Sports is where they decide to spend the most of their time and the most of their money. And giving up on UFC to go to the WWE on Friday nights after getting Thursday night football for Fox, is this a good win-win for Fox Network, Fox Sports, as well as the WWE? $1 billion contract, Wally, over $250 million per year.
I guess it all depends on what brand the WWE is gonna develop with Fox. You know, Fox has always been like an edgy station compared to other stations and whatnot. So it could definitely for Fox. I feel like for Fox it's definitely when it's a winning situation because to me Mike, you would know better than I believe the WWE is more successful than UFC, right? Or Ultimate Fighting, right?
Yes, it is.
Or MMA, right? So yeah, it's a win-win. It's a winning situation because now you get a more profitable commodity within the WWE compared to MMA and whatnot. You know, because MMA was pretty much tripping and going down, and you got a WWE which at times is like even booming, and at times they may just be treading water. So I just think that in terms of viewership, bringing the WWE under your umbrella is pretty cool. Because, obviously, like boxing fans or like any, like boxing fans or whatnot, wrestling fans, they pretty much push the meter. So I think for Fox, it's a good thing.
Friday night, you're in a bar. It's football season's over. The good basketball games don't come on to the evening time because most of them happen in the West Coast games, right? Only a handful of East Coast games happen that you're interested in on a Friday night. Are you going to look up at SmackDown on Friday night? Are you going to – to me, this is a win-win for a lot of things on Friday night. First, kids who are home kids today, hey, something to watch on Friday nights, right, over the video game or whatever it is they're doing. But then again, you're at the bar. You're going to look up at SmackDown. I think we talked about before, more eyes on this product, Micah. Good or bad move for the WWE in this move to Fox? Because I see nothing but dollar signs, and frankly, I'm happy my stocks went up today.
Oh, that reminds me, I got to invest my stocks again because that's a billion-dollar deal. And, did you ever believe, Mike Knox, at some point in time in our history as wrestling fans that we will hear the words $1 billion as far as a TV rights deal for professional wrestling? Not just a man who created a billion-dollar empire, but just for the fact just the TV rights alone equals $1 billion. Are you ever fathomed
them
that
fighting for
case?
That? Never thought that they would be on TV. On people understand this is not USA Network. This isn't TNN. This isn't this isn't CW. This is a major network and Fox that, arguably in my mind, is one of the homes to the greatest show on television, which is Gotham over everything, and I mean that in its entirety.
Gotham's awesome. Gotham's amazing.
So. So to put Gotham, the NFL, and WWE in the same umbrella, I think it's just a, it's just an awesome thing. And I think, as we talked about before, and Wally just pointed out, Fox is going to allow them to be a little bit edgier. We see UFC on there. I've seen it live here in Orlando. It's a vicious sport. This may be what wrestling fans wanted. We talked about it last night about the wrestling world versus the WWE starring me as the WWE, a la parody of T.I. and Kanye West. This is a win-win for the WWE in other aspects as well, Micah.
Well, exactly. And the main thing is that now you get back on a portion of TV because people are cutting the cord more so now than ever. And so because they're cutting the cord, because of things that are more available to them, like a Hulu, like a Netflix, they don't want to sit here and have to worry about dealing with daggone USA Network to get their wrestling fix. Sometimes they just want to be on a regular network television. They go on Fox. They go on Fox to get their basic news and get the weather, or NBC, things like that. And so the return to where the majority of Americans are is a quality thing, because now you bring back people who used to watch wrestling on regular TV, on regular network TV. You bring them back into the fold because maybe they don't have cable. Maybe they don't feel like watching the product on cable. But now they're flipping through the channels. Oh, wrestling's on Fox now? Okay. Also, now you bring in a competing major sports coverage, because even Colin Cowherd had to turn his egg on cheeks and had to turn on his little snobby wrestling rhetoric, because guess who was going to start buying out WWE real soon at the time when he finally got wind of it? It was Fox. So he realized that now, because of the branding that comes with WWE, he has to turn his opinion around to accommodate, because he has to grow and change with the times. He's at least smart enough in that way to realize it's good business for him to do that. So now we're going to see wrestlers not only just ESPN because of the USA covers, but they're going to be seen on Fox Sports 1 too. And in fact, because Fox Sports 1, in a lot of ways, FS1 and the Fox Network is a little bit bigger than ESPN, even though they're bought out by Disney, they may actually start to move over towards Fox more often for the interviews, for the exclusives and things like that. And with Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey already being MMA fighters, already being UFC fighters, a crossover with Fox is even bigger from that standpoint. And for crying out loud, can Bobby Lashley get a UFC contract so we can stop worrying about his dad-dad-gone sisters?
Oh,
talking
so you
about his dad-gone
were...
sisters.
Listen, that's how bad the WWE has stooped. Right. Should we be embarrassed by this, like, as black men in America? Like, Bobby Lashley can only get over
because
he now has to defend his
Mike Knox, you knew what they were going to do. You knew what they were going to do when a black man who's been threatening anybody on that roster was going to show up.
I didn't know they would do this. I didn't know they would do this where he got to go back. Bring back out Benjamin's mama. You know, another black
man
for him to get up. Tonight, Sami Zayn will have a Lashley family reunion where he brings out who he had said in the microphone. You know, I did nothing. He said he's doing it for them. He was the youngest and, you know, did the thing that he did for his kids, because that's what black men do in the community. Our parents, you know, get divorced earlier. Our dads walk away, so it's up to the brother to do it all. So that's the gimmick they're going with.
It's crappy, and honestly, it's nothing wrong to have you did everything else from, you've taken a lot of different elements from everyone else's runs in different companies. You telling me the guy with a 15-2 MMA record, who should have been signed by the UFC, surprisingly he wasn't, you telling me that you couldn't take the walking Armageddon gimmick and put him in a program immediately with Roman Reigns?
It's the damn headband.
Over whose spear? The headband's fine. Okay. But you could have had spear versus spear.
Wrestling, not,
you could
not
have
playing
spear
back.
Spear versus spear immediately. Just like you had Seth Rollins and Triple H, pedigree versus pedigree, you could have spear versus spear. Because by gosh, Roman Reigns throws a really good looking spear. It's very explosive looking. But when Bobby Lashley threw his spear at Impact Wrestling, it looked like it broke you in half. It literally looked like you got this big old boulder of a man plowing you down. Pause. You look like you just died several times. Versus a range, you got knocked out. But one dude dies, one dude gets knocked out. That would have been a perfect storyline to also turn your top guy into the top heel. Would have been perfect. But you know, what do we know as wrestling fans, Mike? We don't get paid to write out the story and stuff and have good hair and nice ties like Vince. So obviously we don't know what we're talking about. We obviously don't have an idea of what the majority of people who pay money for your network we'll talk about. And no, it is not a small 2%. These people constantly boo your top face every single goddamn on Monday night. And because of the way you did the black guy, when y'all had a triple threat dark match, they booed 2/3 of the baby faces in the dark match. Just saying. Just saying. Maybe the black guy is okay to be the angry black man. It's okay to give him the angry black man gimmick. It's not racist. What you're doing with the sisters, she's more racist. That stupid tango. Now look, you think that you mad about the headband? I feel worried about that stupid tango. The heck, your hair that small with the tango? What is wrong with you, WWE? Looking
hey,
at the camera, smiling at me.
That man put that outfit on himself and thought he looked good. Okay, so he's always worn small
I
hats.
That's
what big body dudes do. They have two small hats. You know that. Don't blame the hat. He thought he was, you know, him and Sami Zayn was dressing like that day. He was marring Sami Zayn's Kango. You know? Let's not get on Kangos. You know, it took me, how old is LL Cool J's around the way girl? It took me till last week till I realized that I don't want an around the way girl because the very first line in the song is, I need a woman with extensions in her hair. Gone. Sorry.
Yeah, gone. I be natural. Be natural.
I just realized
I
don't need
it's okay to be natural.
So,
I mean, hey, if you got to have it in your hair because you bald underneath it, okay, I understand. You got to put the extension in your hair. But if you have natural hair and you don't have to grow it out and stuff, wear your natural hair. Be proud of yourself.
With extensions in her hair. Bang boo earrings, the least two pet. I could take the earrings. A Fendi bag and a bad attitude. Wally,
I don't need that bad attitude. I don't need that bad
Wally,
attitude. My life is already stressful enough. I got gray
Wally,
hairs now.
You want an around the way girl, Wally? I love LL. I think LL's a go too, by the way. It just dawned on me that song's not for me.
Around the way girl. Man, yeah. they can, as long as she likes to not late, I'm cool. So now she can be around the way. She can have anything she wants in her hair. That don't bother me.
What about
you? Yeah, Sanaa, you can give me. Oh, you talking about my? Oh, I love me Sununu. You know I love me Laura London. I love her too. I don't care about her past. Her past don't bother me.
Baby, you know she had that baby with Lil Wayne, right?
I know. I told you. Her past don't bother me.
That doesn't damage her.
That
Lil Wayne probably flipped her like a lollipop. That doesn't bother you in any way.
Everybody
ew.
has that one thing that they're not happy about. That one thing in the closet.
Did the baby come out with tattoos on the face? Did the baby come out with the facial tattoos and you know bad breath and grills? Like, did
how
the
you
baby
know
come
the
out
breath
that way?
Stink? How you know his breath stink? Did you mean Lil Wayne? Were you close to Lil Wayne?
Mike.
What?
Mike.
What?
First of
what?
All, we know what his daily routine is when he wakes up in the morning and when he's done eating lunch and
I
he
will
goes to
say
bed
this
and
much.
Sometimes in between.
I will say this much for the saying? City of New Orleans. I stepped off the plane in the airport and I stepped outside and I instantly called my program director, Glenn Thomas, and said, why didn't you tell me the city smelled so bad? So I will say that about New Orleans. Not the people there were great. The food was amazing, but that's one dirty city. And it stinks. So
yep.
Laura London was in New Orleans getting licked like a lollipop by Lil Wayne, and Wally Wild still would take her because her past is her past.
Ew.
That's nasty, Wally, because her future is her past, too, and she can't get rid of that. She had a baby by him. You would take...
Didn't he watch the X-Men movie?
I don't think he saw that
X-Men
movie.
Days of Future Past, bro!
Listen, before we get out of here for today, guys, I do want to talk about the best and worst of the weekend. And, Wally, you had an opportunity to be down at the MGM. How is that new casino down there?
Oh, cool. The MGM is pretty cool. I mean, I've been there a couple of times. I've been to the MGM a couple of times, the casino a couple of times. But, okay. Where they viewed the Gary Russell Jr. fight. Gary Russell Jr. fought. He's the featherweight champion. Gary Russell Jr. fought. Joseph Jojo Diaz in a 12-round fight, Diaz was game. He was a young kid. He was number one contender to Gary's championship belt. And to me, you know, the body shots, the body work that he put on was really good early on. Then obviously hand speed played a part to it. Gary Russell's hand speed played a part, and Diaz wasn't able to attack the body like he wanted to. But I think that kid's going to be a star. Not a star. He's going to be a champion down the road. I might not say star, but he's going to be a champion down the road because that kid has potential.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, I know you went to that fight and you did the press for that fight, but were you able to at all since then get a chance to check out the main event that followed you guys on there on Showtime as they had two fights from two different locations?
I didn't see the Stevenson fight. We were watching a little bit of it on the monitor. Okay. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I'm going to go back and watch it. I know it was a very competitive fight.
Yeah, it ended in a draw. I thought Badu Jack actually came back and won that fight. I'm going to say I'm a fan of Adonis Stevenson. I can't say that, but I've been impressed with his work. Uh-huh. But he's one of the guys that before people tried to single out Deontay Wilder for being a certain style fighter, I've always thought that he got by luckily with that one punch.
Yeah,
and I mean that he did
way.
Everything except to set up the one punch. And so I thought that Badu Jack came out with a very good game plan in that second half of that fight, tired him out. You can see how heavy he was breathing. And I thought he decisively took away that fight and won that fight, being that it was a majority draw, which means there's technically not a single winner in that fight. But coming away from fight night on Saturday night, the Gary Russell Jr. and then the Badu Jack Stevenson fight, what do you place boxing right now for 2018? Has it been a good year thus far?
I think it's been a good year. I can speak for Gary Russell Jr. because I saw the fight. You know, he took a layoff and is still able to beat, you know, the number one contender in the division. So he's you know, if he can't unify the WBC featherweight championship, he wants to move up. So you know, he's gonna have to fight more. That's my suggestion and my belief that he has to fight more if he wants that to happen. And but I think it's going good. You got some younger up and coming talent. I can speak here for the local aspect here, but even with his brothers. They look very impressive in their in the undercard. And then you look at his majority, like you're looking at Jack and Stevenson. It's an opportunity to get a rematch, and a rematch is always good. A part two with a competitive fight. So I think boxing's doing pretty well. I mean, I think you're generating new names, you're generating new stars, and hopefully, you know, within the next couple of weeks, you'll have that mega fight with either Canelo. Canelo, a couple months of Canelo and Triple G, that fight's going to come down the road. And hopefully, you know, I've said this on the show, that I would like to see Errol Spence and Bud Crawford take a go one-on-one. I think that would be really, really good for the sport.
Well, that's the fight that Wally wants. Has got to go, his guy or my guy. And the fact that I like them both, but I just think Bud is better. I want to see that fight, but I don't want to see that fight at this stage of their careers. I want both to be established a little bit more first, more than your average diehard boxing fans, like the world, to know them guys a little bit better. And I think then that'll make for a fight. But we don't want to wait too long like Pacquiao and Mayweather did. Not
yeah,
that kind of long.
Happen,
not
my,
not 7 years
yeah,
down the line, but like
that,
2 years, I'm fine with that.
They got to fight. Eventually, they got to fight somebody because the guys that you know, the guys they can fight are old. Like the guys that we're talking about, like pretty much are old. Like you don't want
Thurman,
see, like those guys.
Porter.
Yeah, like Thurman, he can fight Thurman because Thurman they can fight Thurman. Thurman's still relatively young, and Porter is more of a brawler mixer. What's really gonna? I don't think there's a benefit to fight Porter because Porter may beat you, and that can ruin your brand. That's not a benefit to fight Porter.
No.
Like it's not really.
Or
there's
Garcia.
A benefit to fight Thurman. Danny Garcia is good. That's a good fight. Danny Garcia is a benefit and a fight Thurman. I think fighting those guys would be good for your brand. That would be really good for your brand. But at the end of the day, who's out there that they can actually fight to say, okay, it's going to make them, you know, famous and well-known? That stuff they're going to have to do, one, outside of boxing, and also they're going to have to fight better competition.
Well, that's going to be the telltale line and for boxing to figure out. But, guys, we are back. And let's hear it. Listen, best and worst of the weekend. Take a moment on the open fly.
The brand is here to take it. Come on. Time
to have a race. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Wow, Micah, best and worst of the weekend, my friend, before we get up out of here.
Best of the weekend is LeBron James doing what LeBron James does and elevating his teammates as best possible he can. Didn't even really score with 20 points. Everybody else did it for him, making his team look really, really good over the weekend. The worst of the weekend came in the form of a trailer for the ruination of my childhood called Thundercats Roar. You mother bleeper destroying my nostalgia, my brother's nostalgia, Mike Knox's nostalgia. I'm all for new. I'm all for reboot. I'm all for the things that honor the memory of things that I grew up with. But as soon as you crap on it, then I am going to crap on you. I did it with Dragon Ball Evolution. I was cautious of that new Power Rangers movie, and it delivered. Every little thing that affects my childhood memories that I want to spend my hard-earned dollars on should be respected. Screw this new generation of kids have the same Super Bowl animation. Oh, I know, a comedic character. What is wrong with y'all people?
And I think it's from the makers of Gunball, because it looks exactly the same dumb crap. For those who don't know, please go watch the – don't go watch the trailer of the new Thundercats that's coming out next year, because, good Lord, what a travesty. Best and worst of the weekend for me is simply hanging out. You got the new house ready to move, getting everything in order. Cannot wait to get this monkey off the back, if you will. Worst of the weekend – watching a good show in that meaning of 13 Reasons Why and just what that show illustrates. And it makes me as a father and as a parent, and I think people should watch this. Those who are in school administration, I feel, should watch this and just what actually some of these kids actually go through today in the world. Best and worst of the weekend for you, Wally, before we get up out of here.
Best of the weekend had to be the Team Russell winning, you know, winning all their fights Saturday night, especially Antoine and Antonio. Those dudes put on a show. I mean, I think they both have a bright future. I'm always impressed when I see Antoine fight and speak, you know, because to me he's a very intelligent young man. Worst of the weekend, I would have to say the Caps losing to Tampa and falling in the series 3-2. Definitely need a big game tonight to take this game, to take this series to 7. So I would say the Caps would be the worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend for King Von Jr. 720 was Deadpool 2. For me, it was okay. And Warriors winning against, you know, Houston. That's the best of the weekend for you, really? Like, Golden State? Okay, that's your weekend. Okay, you went to a nice party. I thought that could have been the best of the weekend for you, but Golden State winning? I think you went the cheap way out on that one, Micah. I mean, King Von Jr. 720. You could have thought better than that. Heck, anything could be better than that. But listen, guys, we're going to get ready to get up out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys again this Friday for Lock It Up. And with that being said, guys, we out of here. Rest in peace, Biggie Smalls. Happy birthday, man. We out of here. Peace.